What up?
Hey there.
What's cracking, dude?
How you doing?
Living, brother. Could use a Red Bull or two. Or nine.
Need them wings.
Or nine. Oh, hell man. Yeah. Get them wings.
This apricot fucking vodka or whatever the hell it was that was in the cabinet would really do nice with the Red Bull.
Apricot.
But then I wouldn't sleep till like, yeah, dude, I was at Costco and they had it for like, I don't know, like $12 with the little star on it, on the little price tag. So I was like, $12 for a whole bottle of liquor? Like, fuck it.
Did you get it from like all the way at the bottom of the shelf?
I don't know that Costco has bottom of the shelf.
That's they got, true.
They store shit on the bottom sometimes.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a rumor. I feel like it's more truthful than it is a rumor, but I've done nothing to substantiate it. But the rumor is that the Kirkland brand vodka is just Grey Goose.
I've heard the same thing. But like everything they do is like adjacent to whatever the good version is, right? Like the baby formula is like Similac. It's like the peanut butter's like Skippy.
All right.
I don't know. That's actually not true. The peanut butter is far superior to Skippy, actually.
Did you know that
there's no additives.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like none. Like peanuts, salt, done.
You know, I'm not going to get all political here, but I was watching something, and I mean, it's always been a thing, but I feel like it was more recent for me for some reason. Maybe I was just seeing it in a couple of different places. Like the algorithm was just feeding it to me. That'll be funny in a minute. but I saw, you know who Leslie Jones is?
Of course.
Okay. So
I saw her live.
Yeah. So she did a segment on The Daily Show last week, and she was talking about her time in Paris for the Olympics, and she was talking about how everybody out there hated us because we're American, and not like in a like hater aid kind of way, but more like we're crazy and we're lazy and we're ill-informed and we're easily duped and all blah 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 blah. But then she was talking about the food, and then they got into a whole segment about like how food in other countries compared to how it's made here in the United States. And I see these videos every once in a while, but like
macaroni and cheese, you're not allowed to sell macaroni and cheese outside of the United States.
Well, because it's not either or, right? I think
it's macaroni.
It's definitely not cheese.
No.
I mean, Kraft has even had to like relabel their packaging where it says like cheese products or something like that. It's like you can't even call that cheese.
But in Canada, the version up there is so much better, bro.
To be fair though, in Ireland, in the subways, they can't call their bread because there's so much sugar and other shit in it that it's just legally not bread.
You're talking about in the subway sandwich chain restaurant, not like the underground tube.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was for a minute.
Conversations about baking bread. Yeah, dude.
Underground.
No, no, subway.
I thought you were about to say like, it's like baked 6 feet underground, like it's legally not allowed to be called bread. Like 4 feet it can be called bread, but six feet.
Yeah, let me clarify there.
I got you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because of the fact that the sugar content in the bread is so high, they aren't allowed to call it bread.
What? Shit like that.
But to us, we're like, God damn, that's some fresh smelling bread when I walk in the door.
Dude.
Just want to eat it up.
That is almost as good as. Okay, my top three smells.
Oh no.
Number three is probably.
If I end up anywhere on this list.
Number three is probably the bread at Subway. Mm. Number two is In-N-Out.
Mm.
And then I think for me, number one is The Habit.
Oh, yeah?
I think The Habit saw what In-N-Out was doing and was like, hold my beer. Because at least the one here in Ventura, it always looks like that restaurant is burning down. Yes. But then you just realize that like they're just making good food in there, and it's like,
I think the Burger King up here follows in the same suit though. There's like this loop of cloud of just charness coming up out of it.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there, man.
It is. It is. You yeah. That $5 meal over there. Whew.
$5 meal?
Bro, everyone's got a $5 meal right now. You know Wendy's started up? It.
Well, and Wendy's is the bomb. The app though, huh? You got to get it through the app.
No. McDonald's has got it. Wendy's has got it. Burger King's got it. It's all the same shit. Like, you get like a burger, four nuggets, fries, and some a Coke nuggies. For $5. It's yeah. better than like getting like a Happy Meal or something.
No, I gotcha. It's the adult Happy Meal.
I mean, you're if it had a titty
you,
in there.
You didn't. Well, I mean, just the fact that I have to break the bank on a fucking fast food meal makes me happy.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah.
Times would be tough. I can't go to a fast food restaurant and spend $16 on a damn burger. Dude, like,
I got my hair cut yesterday and my barber, fuck. Hey, shout out to Tiger 22, man, out in Ventura. Zach cuts my shit up great, man. He used to work around the corner from me at a shop, and it was like a 5-minute drive. And now he works like a half hour in the other direction, and I'll drive it. He does great fucking work, man.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Looks good.
I was posting his shit for a while when he first moved, trying to help him build his clientele. So I got to shout him out on the Instagram. But he was telling me that him and his girlfriend went to the mall the day before, went to Wetzel's Pretzels, got a regular size lemonade and a bag of like cinnamon pretzel twists or whatever.
They're delicious.
$18.
Oh, man.
17 dude, and change.
Jenny and I, we had gone to the mall and we decided one day to get a fucking Orange Julius. And I was like, well, if you're going to do it, I mean, you might as well go for the big one, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that'll be $12.75. I was like, well, what? Can you just pour a little out? Can I get some of my hands?
Now
can
it's
just Chris, give me some bubbles.
Yeah, now you're Chris Rock from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Like, I can't believe the how fucking much for way a soda? This gets me.
$1. Oh, come on, brother. Hook a brother, man.
Can you break 100?
Let me get a sip for 10 cents. Cups. Cost more than 10 cents. All right, fuck it. Just pour it in my hand.
Dude.
That movie's funny.
Hey, man. You've been busy as fuck. I know we've talked about it recently on the last show and briefly before that. But, like, do you want to fill in our listeners on what the heck is, like, been filling your calendar up, man?
Well, yes. Thank you. I feel like I'm the one being interviewed now, which is not too indifferent from a little bit of what I've been doing, because I was on the Evil Deaths podcast promoting the film festival. I was on Dads from the Crypt promoting the film festival. I'll talk to anybody who'll have me for the most part, but that's been cool because, okay. So the Happy Frights Film Festival is happening October 18th and 19th, right? Tickets are $15 for the whole fucking weekend, or you could just pay $5 and come on Friday, because we're showing that 16mm print of Night of the Living Dead, the old 68 Romero version. But Saturday is like when it's all going down. Saturday, we're going to be doing 12 p.m. to 10 p.m., we're going to have a vendor hall next to the theaters. We've got 7 confirmed vendors so far, 2 of which are Toxic Doom and Screen Queen Club, formerly Jane's Earful Creations. Or beyond that, that is Jane is Dirty Freakin' Joe's wife. So both those vendors have been huge supporters of the Mutant City Horror podcast. So when we started talking about bringing in vendors, those two were like automatically like, hopefully they'd be willing to do it. And as soon as I told them, they're like, we're fucking there. So that's going to be dope.
Love you guys.
So vendors, and then we're supposed to have some cosplayers. As far as I understand that is happening. So, some cosplayers kind of walking around all day.
Hell yeah.
We've got some stand-up comedy that's going to be taking place. So there's actually, I think, three comedians that are going to be performing. One of which, and I don't have the list in front of me, so I apologize for all the attendees that I don't have the list in front of me, except for those that I know kind of confirmed that we've been talking about for a while. So with the stand-up comedy, that is Poncho Moeller, who I've talked about before. He is from Rob Zombie's 31 and Three from Hell. So that's going to be dope, just to kind of have like a little horror icon there. And then him doing his stand-up comedy as well. And then what else? Fucking live music. At the end of the night, we're going to have a band, Six Silver Bullets, kind of a ghoulish rockabilly type punk band. So that's going to be dope. I've heard some of their shit. It's going to be fun.
Hell yeah, it will be.
And then we're just running movies all day, man. All fucking day. We're starting to put together a rough agenda. We've selected two films so far. One's actually more of a music video. The other one is a local here to Fillmore. It's a 17-minute short called Heavy Vinyl. And it's rooted in like the whole myth of like playing the vinyl backwards and you hear the devil speak and shit like that. It was fucking fun, man. Perla and I watched it. We got a kick out of it. The dude lives here in Fillmore, so
Paul is dead. Yeah, isn't that where it was? It was the Beatles.
Kinda, yeah. We've got some features picked out as well. One of which is Creeping Death. So Creeping Death right now, it's a movie by Matt Samper, and it is streaming on Screambox. And it was trending at number one. I'm not sure if it's holding the position, but the idea, the fact that that movie, you know, debuted on Screenbox, was running as number one for at least last week, and then it's going to make its LA premiere at the film festival. That's pretty fucking dope.
Get there, watch it, check it out. Be one of the first to see it.
Totally. Now Matt's coming out and he's bringing some of the cast with him. So we've carved out some time for me to moderate a Q&A panel with them.
Woof.
So that's going to be fucking awesome.
Being a three-legged, or it's not a three-legged kickboxer, a one-legged kickboxer. That's the way you kick an ass, dude.
The other one we've got picked out is
Urban Cats.
Another one called Night of the Missing, directed by Samuel Gonzalez Jr. and Matthew Hirsch. Also stars Gigi Gustin. And I know those three people are coming out, but the film also stars Jenna Connell from the first Terrifier movie.
So I was just watching that.
Yeah, she played Tara.
One of those bitches in the donut shop or whatever at the beginning.
Yeah. She's the Bill Moseley's in that one as well.
Bill Moseley,
yeah, I know, dude. I know. So I think I know the two directors and Gigi are coming for sure. It would be fucking sick if Jenna could come out. Bill's already tied up. We tried to get him already. So we're doing that.
Literally
also,
tied up.
That's also making
bound and gag in the back,
right? That's also making its LA premiere, so we're going to be doing a Q&A panel for that one, too. So there's a lot, man. I mean, that's just, like, of what's happening. And then there's the background stuff of us, like, promoting on Instagram, paying for ads, you know, trying to get some traction with ticket sales. We've got VHS Doom bought 4 tickets to raffle off on the show. Evil Deaths bought 2 to do the same. So we got to get those promos going on Instagram.
I can't wait to go ahead and see the fruits of this, all this labor that you've been putting in. And I wish I could be there.
Hey, man.
I'm here. And I'm here for a different reason, because we watched something that we want to share with the fans.
Ooh, it was a good one too.
Oh yeah.
It was a banger. Fun with it. Yeah, Perla fucking loved it.
Oh yeah, same Jenny. Jenny was even talking about it just a minute ago with Chris while he was here.
Nice. Dude, it was so funny. Before we get in, I got a text from Dylan yesterday, and he was like, bro, I'm listening to the new episode on my lunch break, and I'm realizing now that this was a bad decision. Like, I'm paraphrasing. And I was like, I was doing a million things at work. So when I finally got back to him, I was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Why? Like, what happened? Is there something, like, was there something wrong with the episode? Cause I haven't heard it yet. And he's like, nah, it's just, I was eating at the same time you guys are describing like the popping of cysts and all the ooze. And like, it looks like ketchup and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my bad.
Yeah. He gets caught up in that whole food thing. Yeah. He was talking about the watermelon and shit and the kindred and how that fucked with him for a week. Yeah. I got to be careful with that. I mean, I tried to not put too much of the juiciness while still being juicy. So,
yeah. So Saturday night, this is fun, but repetitive. There is a midnight showing at the New Beverly Theater, which is, Quentin Tarantino's theater. Yep. They're doing a midnight showing of Maniac, the original one. And William Lustig is going to be there, the director from the first one.
Hell yeah.
So we bought tickets. Me and Perla are going to go with Raymond and Nicole. And I want to get, so I did that earlier this month with me and superfan Daryl, or not this month, but this year. And I took a picture with William Lustig and I want to get that printed so that he could autograph it. And then I'm going to frame that, put it up here in the office.
Dude, that'd be badass.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Stoked
for that. Hey, also too, I don't know if we talked about this much, but they are doing the LA premiere later in the month. I think on the 17th. Because I was debating on going. They're doing the LA premiere of the revised version, the 2024 version of Street Trash.
That's such a good one.
And it's not even like a...
Wait, when you say 2024 version, you mean like there's a new Street Trash?
Yes.
And it's ready for human consumption?
And it's it takes place in like... Johannesburg, OBC? I want to say. Like in South
Detroit?
No, yeah, I know, right? You would think.
Hobo with the shotgun.
New Detroit, where RoboCop lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought that was just alternate cover to the original.
So
I didn't see the coming.
In the beginning, I thought this was like a Vinegar Syndrome type thing where they're like, yeah, cleaning it up, 4K. Nope.
Or like a Steelbook or something cover.
Nope. This is a brand new one.
I don't know. I gotta watch it, but I don't know. I gotta watch it.
Yeah. So, Viper.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, we'll see. It's on it. They're doing it on the 17th, which is the night before our film festival. Do I want to burn the candle on both ends? Because Saturday is going to be fucking a long day, dude. So if we're going to go to the, you know, Night of the Living Dead, that's going to be a long night, then an early day and all day. And yeah, I'm saying, man, 4 days of sleep, I think, is going to be a thing.
I mean, you deserve it. You deserve it, brother.
We'll see.
All right. Like, so what are we here for? I mean, we're not just a film festival podcast.
All right, let's do it up. So tonight, the monsters are running amok, and we run towards that theater where the marquee reads Wormwood.
All we know is there is something in the air that's changing people.
I need you to get me to Bulla Bulla.
Why? To get his sister.
You get to see what the adults do after dark.
Oi! Can we come inside? There's fucking zombies everywhere!
Yeah, okay.
She can control zombies!
We need fuel.
There's no way that could work.
There's one way to find out.
We need to armor up. Big time.
Ready?
Born ready.
Come on, you dead bastard!
The medical box.
Open it!
Oh, beers.
You want a beer, Frank?
What do you fucking reckon?
Tell me where she is.
This truck runs on zombies. No zombies, no truck.
It's about the survival of the human fucking race, mate.
Hold on! Come on, you zombie!
You want a zombie? I'll get you a zombie. What?
Round them or through them?
Through them.
A 2014 kind of zombie shoot 'em up fucking action-packed monster movie directed by Kaya Roche Turner. I think it's Roche. I'm going to go with Roche. I remember one time I met Sebastian Roche in a Subway. Man, call back to the bread.
Subways. That's what I'm
call
talking
back
about.
Back to the bread. Do you know who Sebastian Roche is?
Not a clue off the top of my head.
All right. It's so funny. I used to watch a show called Fringe. I don't know if you've seen Fringe.
Yeah.
He was in like most of Fringe. And so I'm sitting down eating my sandwich and I'm staring at this dude from across the fucking restaurant and he sees me staring at him. And I see him like kind of like giving me the weird look of like, do you know me or do you not know me? Like what's happening right now, you know? So I didn't know his real name. So I was like, fuck, I know him from somewhere. You know, I was like, I think from Fringe. He's in Fringe. So I look it up. Boom, boom, boom. Same last name, spelled the same way as our director here. And I was like, I'm going to YOLO it and just be like, excuse me, are you Sebastian Roche? And he was like, I am. And I was like, dude, I'm such a fan. I love Fringe, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, I thought you recognized me from something else. And I was like, what else would I have recognized you from? I think he said General Hospital. And I was like,
not today.
This is when I was like 32. I was like, do I look like somebody who would recognize you from General Hospital? Come on, dude. And it was so funny because the guy that he was with was like, what's Fringe?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then Sebastian Roche was like, oh, it's this show, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how are you guys homies? And you don't know what show your famous homie is on at the moment right now. Not that Fringe was very popular or like, you know, it wasn't as common then, even in its heyday. But like, if you and I are hanging out and you're a fucking top tier actor, and I think I might know what you're in, you know?
Well, I mean, there are situations where people film shit, do all the pre-production and everything, and then post takes forever, and like they've moved on and the project still isn't out. I think that's kind of what happened with Feed Me, right? Like they had done it, it had been done, it was out, but like I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Sometimes movies take too long, long, but like it takes long to make them. Like there's this one movie that I saw that took 4 years to make because they only shot it on the weekends.
Oh, that is a movie I've heard about that's like that.
Do you know which movie I'm talking about?
Was that Murder Party?
No. Well, maybe. No, I'm actually referring to this movie, Wormwood.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That was one of the things that had actually attracted me to this movie. It took four years to make? Yeah, like it gave me the impression that these people went through whatever they had to do to get their movie still made. Same thing that happened with Murder Party. It was filmed on weekends and like just doing when you can make it in. I think the overall stated budget for this movie was like $160,000. You know, like that's over the course of 4 years. That's nuts.
It's 40 grand a year
for everything that you saw.
Yeah. And there was, I mean, there's a lot of practical effects, but there's also a shit ton of special effects, and like for the quality of the movie, right? So like this is, you know, low budget for sure. Took them 4 years to make. They were doing it on the weekends. Okay, so there's one dude in this movie. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you tell the people at home what this movie even is?
It's a zombie apocalypse movie that breaks out in Australia, but let me just say, it's not just any Australian zombie apocalypse movie. This actually has some content to it, some twists to the genre that I've never seen before, and that left me completely satisfied.
Okay. That's funny. I mean, yeah, it was a little different. It was the same in that, you know, it reminded me of 28 Days Later.
I can see that.
Oh, man, I'm on a fucking tangent today, but 28 Years Later is in production.
We were just talking about that earlier.
They shot the whole fucking thing on an iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Assholes.
That's insane. Anyways.
And I mean that in the most loving asshole type of way.
Yeah, right. I mean, but a lot of other movies do it too, where like there's no like genesis, there's no origin. It's just you wake up one day and now people are zombies. I think The Walking Dead is exactly like that. Like there's no explanation for why what happened or what's happening has happened. At least in those. Maybe I missed it in this movie, but it's just one day people started turning into zombies. Am I only
it's the Wormwood. It's a biblical event that they're tying it back to. They look at the sky.
Oh, you're right.
They see the stars in the sky. Like it's like a
one of the guys in the movie says worm, and so in Revelations. The third angel that descends from heaven, brings the wormwood, which kills off a bunch of people. And he knew it was that when he saw the meteor shower the night before. Mm-hmm. So it was something with the meteor shower that caused it. Now you can argue that that's not exactly what is happening here because that's just one man's opinion. But fair. It's the only definition. It's the only reasoning that we got. So I guess we'll live with that one.
That's fair.
So but to your point, yeah, there is an explanation.
But that's how the movie opens. It is just a couple guys heading out into the bush, doing a little camping, hanging out by the fire, watching the fucking meteor shower.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now one of those guys is a character named Benny. And I want to talk about Benny for a second because Benny was my boy.
Yes, he was. He's everybody's boy.
Benny, and this goes back to like the constraints and the roadblocks that you sometimes face with independent, low budget, it took us 4 years on weekends kind of issues to shoot. But Benny wasn't even really supposed to have the role that he had. They had another actor that was supposed to be the sidekick. I think the dude that's with him that gets his head blown off like early on, mm-hmm, was supposed to take on that sidekick role that Benny takes on. But in the middle of the production, so 2 years into it, the dude left to go be in a play.
Yeah, he got a role on stage. Life's going on.
Yeah. I mean, when you're shooting on weekends, and it's probably not every weekend, like if you've got stable work, like can't fault you for that. You got to pay the bills, you know? But so Benny kind of fills in that sidekick role. And when I was catching Perla up because she had missed the first 30 minutes, I was showing her the cast because in Plex it shows you all the cast members. And I referred to Benny as Popeye. Do you know why I referred to him as Popeye?
It can't be because of his tank top that he's wearing.
Part of it is, but not if you're thinking about like Popeye and Brutus and Sweet Pea and olive oil, that's not the Popeye I'm talking about.
Blood in, blood out?
Yes.
That's great. Yes.
Look at this dude. That is, yes, Popeye from Blood In, Blood Out. Tell me that's not Benny from Wormwood.
I can see it. I see it. I can't argue it.
and there were so many times, that Benny sounded like Popeye from Blood In, Blood Out. And Perla was like, he sounds like him. He looks like him. He acts like him. He's even got the tank top on, the red one, when he opens the door. And
the Ozzy, Ozzy, oi, oi, oi. Tank top.
Yeah. But in Blood In, Blood Out, when Miklo gets out and he goes to live with Popeye because he's on parole, he opens the door and his hair's all fucked up and he's just standing there in a red tank top and some tidy whities.
It's like, true. Yep,
that's
true.
Him right there, dude.
Dude, but Benny is this cool-ass Aboriginal cat.
Yes.
Who is just the epitome of Australian cool as a fan. Like, he's just down to earth. Real people, good people.
He reminds me of what, like, the big native Hawaiianers are, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
I was thinking more like the gods must be crazy. Because that was the Aboriginal guy, wasn't it?
No, but like, I'm just saying, like, the vibe wise, you know?
You're right. You're right. I'm like literal.
Okay, so here's kind of what happens, right? So
I got a story to tell. Yesterday, I went pig hunting with my brothers, Muller and Tony. I drove the car. Tony brought his blues guitar. Muller brought his favorite rifle. And I brought my mean little sword off pistol grip 12 gun. We went bush. There was a strange feeling in the air. Dead silent. That night, we made a fire, like I usually do. We just sat there barely talking. Then Muller sees it. Men's shooting stars. Everywhere. I look up and I see them lighting up the sky. And I'm scared. I get a feeling right here. That night, it took me ages to go to sleep. And when I did, I dreamed bad things. I woke up in the morning. Muller and Tony were gone. Then I saw blood trails. I followed them. I saw Muller. He was dead. I look out into the bush and I see Tony. I call out to him. Tony! And he turns. That's not me, brother. Then he come at me. And I just run, yelling at him to stop. But he just keeps coming. After a while, I get tired, and I just start walking. Must have went like that for hours. Me walking, and him chasing. Then I turn, aim the gun. Took out his legs. I blew his kneecap off. And he starts crawling at me. I aim for his head. I couldn't do it. I should have shot him.
So he's telling this whole story about how, like, you know, everything went down for him and it was all sad and good intro, right? But then the movie turns our attention to Barry, who's our protagonist for the movie. And he's like,
Barry. You got any stories?
This morning I shot my wife and child with a nail gun. I don't know how to make that into a story.
It is what it is. And I was like, all right, cool.
I like and that then guy. Boom, right into the flashback of what the fuck was he referring to?
Yeah, the movie's like, don't worry, we'll do it for you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Okay, so this is where we get we meet kind of the rest of our core characters, right? So we jump into Barry's backstory, but it's runs parallel with his sister Brooke. And his sister Brooke is a photographer. She's getting ready to do a photo shoot, It's this girl in like a Day of the Dead makeup, kind of like that candy skull or crystal sugar skull, whatever they call those things.
Crossed with like Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're hanging her from the raptors or whatever, and she ends up dying and then turning into a zombie. And she's trying to like protect herself in there, and she calls her brother, who is Barry.
Yeah, it was just like a random like turning of the zombie, freak accident. Like,
yeah,
no reason why that should have happened.
Yeah, 100%. I think they were adjusting these chains that she was connected to, and then like it just kinked or whatever, and she ended up choking and she died. Turned into a zombie, and then like she's trying to like protect herself. She calls her brother Barry, who's asleep. He wakes up. He's like,
"Yeah."
Oh, Barry, say fuck. Are you okay? Is Annie and Megan safe?
Brooke.
Listen, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Everyone is turning crazy. Sherry and Charlie just turned their eyes. Their eyes went fucking wide.
Just lie down.
I had to chop off Sherry's head with a goddamn shovel.
Calm down. Where are you?
I'm in the studio in Bulla Bulla.
Listen,
you gotta get somewhere safe, man. You gotta get out of the city, like, fuck.
Chuck?
Then his daughter walks into the room. She's like,
Daddy. There's someone in the kitchen.
What so the fuck?
They go downstairs. There's a fucking zombie in the kitchen, just in the fridge, like, Shaun of the Dead style. Like, sorry.
Making a sandwich.
Remind me of Bro-Man from Martin. Making a sandwich.
Sneaking in the window.
Bruh, man. From the fourth floor. Or fifth floor. Was it fifth or fourth? Anyways, whatever. So he fights it there and gets his wife and his daughter away. And they take off in the car. And then they get down the road a bit, only for us to find out that the daughter was now turning. And
so they're rolling wearing like gas masks, like he's on. Barry is a very resourceful guy who is on point. Let me just say, like, he's grabbing his nail gun, he's grabbing equipment, he's ready to do what he's got to do.
He was like a contractor, carpenter type.
That's what I thought too. Apparently no, that's not what his job was, but I felt like that's what its job was. Like, I was like, this guy's ready to nail down some like ground or some flooring in my house. But he's a mechanic.
Oh, okay. Too bad he wasn't a plumber, because I was gonna, you know, the whole lane pipe thing. But the moment's passed, so it's all good. So they get down the road and the daughter starts to turn in the car. Mm-hmm. And it was at this point where I was questioning, did she get scratched or bit by the zombie in the house? I don't recall seeing.
It's airborne. Well, it's airborne. Yeah, that's going on.
That's where we find out that it's airborne, because then the wife also starts to turn in the car too, but he doesn't. So that's why I was like, did they get scratched? Did they get bit? But it turns out it's airborne.
And I thought it would have been the fight that happened with the zombie in the kitchen where the blood, because they had to go at him with the axes. And I mean, it was a nice little battle. And like blood got splattered all up in her face. And I thought like, oh, there it is. There's the infection.
Then that's what it was then. So maybe it's
both. No, it's airborne.
Yeah, we don't find out till later that it's airborne, I think. But yeah, airborne. So this is in the time in which he kills both of them with that nail gun and then moves on. So while that's happening, we're also seeing Brooke's story, and she gets rescued from her studio, but like from these like paramilitary guys that just kind of came out of fucking nowhere. I mean, it was a good thing they came because they saved her, but at the same time, like, these are randos and they're dressed in all black. They remind, I don't know if you ever played Resident Evil 2, but there's a character named Hank that you can unlock, just straight up like tactical military police kind of guy. That's what these guys were dressed up like. But instead of saving her, they take some blood from her. They test it. They like what they see, although she's not infected. And then they knock her out and they take her and they put her in this like mobile hospital unit like truck.
Well, we didn't. Did you know that it was a mobile hospital truck at that point?
Not in the beginning. It was just okay. Like a room,
like a small room. It looked like it was like a like a storage unit box. It really did feel like that, but I didn't know it was on a truck.
Me either. Which has got like, there's a bunch of gurneys in there with zombies in it. And then there's like one guy in a yellow hazmat suit, all suited up head to toe. And he's like pulling blood out of the zombies and injecting it into Brooke.
He looked like Christopher Lloyd in freaking Back to the Future in like the hazmat suit at the beginning.
Yeah. And it's funny because Perla was asking me why he's doing that, and it didn't click until right now, but I'll get there in a minute. So while that's happening to Brooke, Barry is just kind of making his way through town. Now that he's killed his family, he ends up hooking up with some other guy who, you know, gives him a lift. He's trying to get to Bora Bora, or what was it?
It's a city. Not Bora Bora, by the name of like Bora Bora, Bala Bala, or
yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It's just some random city outside of the fucking bush in middle of Australia.
Well, because he was trying to get to Brooke, his sister.
Yeah. Got to get my sister.
So on the journey with this guy in the truck ends up breaking down. Now
it just stops running.
Well, here's the thing. They reinforce the truck so that they can drive through a bunch of zombies. So I felt like they led me to believe that the truck broke down because it's all gunked up from running over all those zombies.
Okay.
But it died nonetheless.
Got some zombie guts up in your intake manifold. Mm-hmm. I get it.
The leaf springs. So they abandon the truck and then they go walking and they come up against this barn and they, you know, there's a couple guys in this barn trying to like safeguard it because there's a whole, like a horde out mm-hmm. there, and they end up making their way into the barn.
It's funny as fuck though. They're like,
zombies everywhere. He thought about it for a second. He looked around. He's like, yeah, sure.
I was like, that is the Australian hospitality right there. There's no reason not to. Like, fuck it. Come on. Come on in. Light up the Barbie. We'll throw another shrimp on there for you.
So they get in and they meet a couple guys in there. I don't remember what their names are. I think one of them was Frank. The other one was the captain.
Yeah.
And then Kelly, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
And they're great. They're great characters too.
Oh yeah. They seem super friendly and like, they reminded me of like, almost like a hillbilly doomsday prepper type. Guys, like,
okay,
because they armor up eventually and they had all this shit in there, and I was like, you just happen to have all that shit in your barn.
See, I felt like they were just bush guys. They just they gather and like craft as you need, and this is like what I do. Like, all right. I just craft.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I see where you're coming from.
Fair enough.
Bushcraft is a fucking skill by far, let me just say.
I like that, bushcraft.
Dude, that's what it's called, bushcraft. Well,
I'm sure it is. I've never heard it before, but
I've seen so much Naked and Afraid, man.
That's funny. Okay, so part of the reason why Barry wants in, we should also say at this point, Barry is with Benny, because Barry was with that other guy, Chalker, played by Yuri Kovich.
That's the guy who, like, basically came up on Barry after he tried to take his own life because he just had to kill his wife and kid.
Yeah, we skimmed over some stuff, but Barry is trying to kill himself because he's sad that he just killed his family. He's got nothing to live for. And Chalker had a weapon and he tried to take the gun from him and he wouldn't do it. Chalker was like fighting this. He was fighting Barry to kind of like save his life.
Great fight, by the way.
Yeah. And then Barry was finally on board. He was like, all right, I'll just roll with you. So when the truck broke down, him and Chalker went walking. And when they walked into the woods,
like five steps.
Chalker went up and then like got his head blown off by Barry. And Barry was like, oh, my bad. I thought he was a zombie. And Barry's like, but he's not. Or he wasn't.
He wasn't. And
Benny's like, sorry.
Then he said, I think he's like,
oh, fuck me. Is he all right? Is he okay? What do you fucking think? He's pretty fucking dead to me.
Ted is like Gallagher'd everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. So now it's Barry and Benny.
Right.
Benny then.
Immediate change of sidekick.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's the whole thing. So now they're at the barn. They're in the barn. They're with the captain. They're with Kelly. They're with the other dude. And, you know, Barry wants to take their truck. And the bushwhackers are like, nah, bro, you can't have it. And he's like, why the fuck not? And they're like, let me guess. Your car broke down? And they're like, he's like, well, yeah. And they're like, you from the city? You a city boy? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, has nothing to do with the car itself. He's like, take a look.
Petrol, metho, kero. Right? Last time I checked, they were flammable liquids, weren't they?
That's true, but it don't. So it's not so much that it's the car itself, it's the fact that you can't power the car because there's no fuel for it if it's not working anymore, which I thought was interesting to me because other than the Wormwood explanation about why what's happening to the people is happening, we never really got an explanation about the gasoline thing.
True. That's 100% true. But I'll get into that a little bit later, though.
But it made for something kick-ass because now these guys are sitting around. They're trying to figure out what we're going to do. We have no transportation. How the fuck are we going to get out of here? And then somehow some of the zombie blood gets on a fire and that shit fucking flames up.
Yeah, there's some real zombie nice. Blood on the floor. A match hits it and like you're talking lamp right there. Like one of those old oil lamps back in the day with the wick that you had to like adjust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like perfect flame. And they're like, oh, zombie blood's flammable.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start doing a little bit of testing, right? They just so happened to have one of their homies who got locked up inside the freezer. And they go ahead and light a match on its mouth because it's letting out that nauseous gas.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out that shit's flammable too.
Mm-hmm.
So the zombies took our octane.
It took our gas.
They took our octane.
So they're like, great. Hey, we need gas to like, how do we turn it into gas? Like, we need to get out of here. And they're like, we don't need gas. We need fuel. So they, in the very most bushwhacker, bushcrafty way, they figure out how to hook up the zombie to all these hoses as a means of powering a generator. And it works. So they're like, great. Zombies are like, like walking fuel cells for cars now. Awesome.
so original, dude. I love that.
Yeah, it was a great concept. So they do what any of us would do in that situation.
We need to armor up. Big time.
They armor the fuck up. They weapon up. And then they stick this fucking zombie in the back of the truck. Hook up all the hoses to him. Run it to the fuel lines. And like, boom, they're off and running, right? Cool. Now, at the same time, we're still going back and forth between what's happening with the boys and what's happening with Brooke. And what we're finding is that this doctor in this small space, who's a fucking
mad scientist.
He not only that, but he has good music taste. He was playing some tracks. True. He was playing some tracks. And he was like getting into it too. So I was like,
facts.
Yeah. I could party with this dude. But what he's doing is he is extracting blood from some of the zombies, from the maybe even spinal fluid, just depending, like considering where he was taking it from. And he was injecting it into Brooke. And he was doing that like every 5 hours or so.
Well, not just Brooke. There was other people who were there with her that he was infecting. Because there's another guy next to her that they inject. There's like little... There's little things around their neck that timers. Like timers. Mm-hmm. And once they go off, he either injects you with more shit, or as he does with the guy who's next to her, jams this fucking thing up their nose and then like basically gives them a lobotomy and pulls out a bunch of liquid to test.
He's basically just running his own like
Total lab, just DIY mad scientist.
CDC, if you will. So, but while this is happening, she's starting to kind of turn a little bit. We see like her viewpoint, things are like turning red, they're turning different colors. You get the sense that like she's getting, that she's turning. That's the sentiment they're going for, right?
Up to this point, everybody has mentioned that they feel something is turning different. Like they've mentioned that they can feel that physical transformation occurring. Mm,
good point. So cut back to the Bush boys and they're full steam ahead, right? And I think the plan is like, let's go to Bala Bala. Like that was the plan. Now we have Brooke. Transportation. Let's go.
Barry is a very singular focused guy. Like he's like the guy from Taken. He's going to do whatever it takes to finish his mission of extraction.
Yeah, 100%. And the rest of the guys had nothing else going on, so they're like, fuck it, let's roll.
Yeah.
So they hit the road. And while they're on the road, they stop at a certain point, right?
They run out of fuel. Like suddenly out of nowhere, like the fuel stops and it's right as sundown occurs. And so they're all jammed in the truck with they've got in the bed of the truck like a cage that they set up that has a couple zombies, and the zombies have like these masks that are basically feeding right into the gas tank. Total bushcraft shit. And so they're hanging out inside the car because it's not moving. It turns out zombies don't emit the gas during the night once the sun goes down, and that's what allows the zombies to move so much faster at night. During the day they're slow moving, they're kind of lethargic, you can kind of like just walk away from them and they'll pace you, but like at night they move like 28 days later.
I have the opposite problem. I eat all day and then I'm all gassy at night and I'm slow moving.
They got the Paulitis.
I like it. But while they're out there, you know, just kind of unwinding a little bit or whatever.
I mean, they got nothing better to do but hunker down inside the car now. They can't go nowhere. They're stuck. Zombies are coming in, are impeding on them.
And there's three of them at this point, I think, right? There's Barry, Benny, and then I think it's Kelly. Kelly ends up shooting himself because they were getting attacked. He like his hand got caught in like the sunroof or whatever.
The fucking medical box at your feet.
Oh, you want some bandages?
Open it.
Oh, beer. You want a beer, Frank?
What do you fucking reckon?
And so he knew his time was up. See, that's an interesting point, because if it's airborne and these guys aren't infected, there's a subset of people that are not infected, but then the zombie bite still gets you in the traditional sense.
I see what you mean, because Kelly explains to Barry and Benny, the other two guys in the car, that they have identified that people with the A negative blood type are not susceptible to the airborne virus. Everybody else, they're fucked. But A negative blood type, you got the golden ticket.
So that brings me to my aha moment that I had a couple minutes ago. Because again, Perla was asking me, like, why is the doctor doing that? And I was like, I to see what happens. Like I didn't know. I didn't put it together in our sitting and watching of the movie. But now that I think about it, I guess if you know that it's an airborne disease and or pathogen, and then if you've got A negative blood, you're immune to it. What happens when you mainline it?
Right.
For lots of, you know, for a long period of time, over time. And
that's what those timers are, right? So like he'll inject you, wait 10 minutes, inject you some more, wait 10 minutes. At what point are you finally infected? Are you showing those symptoms? And log it. And then figure out like maybe there's a way to reverse it. This is how COVID was solved, right? This is how we went through that whole Pfizer bullshit.
Yeah.
The Moderna assholes making money.
Man, it's all about that Johnson & Johnson, man. Okay, so that's still happening with her too, right? And but the more he's doing it, the more she's starting to turn a little bit. But she's also starting to realize that, like, and Perla picked this up before I did. She has like a mental telepathy with some of the other zombies that are in there, and she's starting to figure out that she can like manipulate them, get them to do things just through the power of her mind.
Right.
Now we cut back to the boys, and it's just Barry and Benny, and that's it, because the other guys are dead. They've moved on, and they hit the road. And as they're driving down the road, they come up against this mobile truck, which is our mobile fucking hospital where Brooke is in.
And the doc is going crazy with his crazy experiments.
The two guys hop out of the cabin, and they're talking to Benny and, damn, what was the fuck his name again?
Barry.
Barry's going to hook you up. All right, Barry. So Barry and Benny are talking to these...
Like Barry Gibbs.
Yeah, there you go. So Barry is talking to these guys, and they're like, hey.
You boys military?
Yeah.
You guys know what's been going on here?
Fellas A negative.
What?
Of course they're fucking A negative, Tomo.
What's he talking about?
All we know is there is something in the air that's changing people. Anyone with an A negative blood type is unaffected. That's obviously you, fellas. People with any other blood type? Not so lucky. Where are you boys headed?
North. We're going to Bulla Bulla.
Bulla Bulla? Why?
To get his sister.
Well, that's a pretty bad idea. We've just come from Bulla Bulla. It's not looking good. Is infected everywhere.
But he admits that he's looking for a sister, and they're like, oh.
We got a call from our captain about 10 minutes ago. Now, he's in a roving unit just down the road, okay? Now, he said he picked up a couple more A-negative blood types. Survivors just like you two. What was your sister's name?
Brooke.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure one of them was Brooke.
I thought he was going to give him a fake name, because that's the smart thing to do. Because I already kind of know they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we have a Brooke.
Totally.
There, he's like, her name is Brooke. And he's like, yeah, let me go make a call. Goes in the car.
Two minutes later. He's like, oh, we got a Brooke in the at the shop.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. They just go
get you guys together.
So they end up following the truck. But in the meantime, what we're seeing in the truck is Brooke is finally tapped into that mental telepathy power, and it's controlling the zombies and forcing them to get out of their shackles, attacking the doctor. Like, it's a revolution in there, right? It's a fucking coup is what's happening, and Brooke's taking over as the new leader. So she opens the back of the truck only to find that her brother is following right behind, unbeknownst to both of them.
Right? What the fuck?
Yeah, just out of fucking nowhere. What are the odds, you know? And so she jumps off the truck and onto their truck, and then they're being chased by a third truck that's behind them, and they get into a little bit of an accident. Or actually, no, the Barry's truck has got like a super nitrous oxide, like red button, don't push the red button type button. And then because they're still being chased, they're like, push the button, and they go fucking all fast and furious down the road.
You're plaid.
Totally. And so they pull over because the car sputters out. It's out of fuel.
Yeah.
So they're catching up, you know, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what's been going on. And they're like, fuck.
We need to find a zombie fast.
Zombie? What do we need a zombie for?
This truck runs on zombies. No zombies, no truck.
She's like, hold my beer. And she like does the thing that the Undertaker does from WWE and just like turns his eyes white and like, yeah, exactly. And she's like,
you want a zombie?
Yeah.
I'll get you a zombie.
Summoning zombies to her. And the guys are like tripping the fuck out because they know the white eyes mean you're a zombie, but
right.
She's not dead and blah, blah, blah. And
so and she's like totally controlling them. Go in here, scratch your ball, stand on one foot, whatever the fuck she wants, they're going to do.
Put the mask on. Let's go.
I think earlier she even has like a zombie like stab himself in the stomach with a scalpel just so that he could dig it out later. I mean, like, she can do make him do whatever she wants. Yeah,
there was some cool shit going down.
Hell yeah.
So they make it down the road a little bit more, and the truck that was chasing them ends up catching up with them, and they have this like shootout in the forest. I guess they ended up in the forest.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think they just like pulled over to like rest and catch up and find out what's going on. And while they're like trying to figure everything out, Benny ends up getting shot. That truck pulls up with some of those paramilitary guys, shoots Benny. But then like Brooke is off in the woods, like getting sick, like turning. And so Barry's like torn between like taking care of Benny and then taking care of Brooke. And then as those troopers like pull up, Brooke goes to hide and then he runs over to Benny and they come over and they're like trying to get them to, you know, kind of give up.
Goldie's sister.
Go fuck yourself.
Thompson. Rubber bullets. They pack quite a punch, though, don't they? You want to know what the real one feels like, mate?
The real one feels like shit, Barry.
Call to your sister.
Nah, she'll be right.
Come get the pliers.
Benny's like, bro,
I got a better idea.
For fuck's sake, what?
I let him up there bite me.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I've got a number 7 killer boomerang hidden under the truck. Sharp as fuck.
A boomerang?
Yeah.
Let me get bit by one of the zombies we have in the truck, and then your sister controls zombies, so like, just have her sick me on them, and I'll save you guys, and we'll be good to go.
Legit idea. Like, totally legit plan.
Didn't work out that way, though.
No, but I mean, it was a legit plan. Well, this is where the captain of like all those military fuckers is like, and I was wrong earlier when I called the character the captain. This is where the captain comes in.
Okay, so what happens is Barry doesn't want to do that plan because he doesn't want Benny to die. He's shot, but he's not dying.
Right.
But it's a gut shot, right? And if I learned anything from Reservoir Dogs, the gut is like the worst place to get shot. It hurts like hell, but you're not going to die. So Benny is impatient. He lets one of the zombies bite him, and then he tries to attack the military guys, but they end up killing him anyway. So I was like, fuck, okay, good for nothing now. So they're on Barry, and they're like, call out for your sister. Straight Terminator 2 style. Call John. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, look, we could kill you, but we probably just torture you. Like, just call your sister. So they start like ripping off his nails with pliers and
Oh, dude. And they grab those pliers telling you what they're going to do. And you're thinking they're not going to do it. She's going to go ahead and step in before that happens. It's not going to. Damn, it happened.
That is the equivalent to me of like watching Jack Bauer shoot somebody in the kneecap. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know that shit hurts, man.
Ugh. They didn't get him just once, though.
No.
And in between, there's a whole bunch of shit that goes down, too.
Well, so, you know, he's refusing to call for his sister, but his sister at one point is just like, you got to stop. Like, I'll come out and around the corner. And they end up shooting her.
Right in the chest.
Yes.
Well, so she's controlling, she surrounds them with a circle of zombies. And the dude's all like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, you're surrounded by zombies. And like, the guy's like, well, I'll just kill the head, like kill this girl who's controlling the zombies. And exactly what you think would happen happens. All the zombies suddenly hit the ground and yeah, they fall die out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at the point where it's the captain and it's Barry.
There's more at stake here than you know, mate. It's not about you or your sister or your mates. It's about the survival of the human fucking race, mate. Do you understand?
You're a piece of shit.
You want to fight me, mate?
I want to rip your fucking head off.
Fuck it. You and me go round and round.
We get into this fight between the two of them.
Total Australian feeling, like, thing. Like, ah, fuck it. Let's have one. Let's go one last round.
Yeah, dude. It's fuck the, it. It's the gentleman thing to do, you know?
That's funny you say the gentleman thing to do.
Why?
Because in the middle of the fight, like, fucking Barry is a little desperate and he's trying to get back to his sister and win the fight, and he punches the captain in the nuts, and the captain's like that's what like causes the captain to lose his shit, and he like ends up beating the fuck out of him, and he says something to the effect of like, you shouldn't punch a man in the nuts in a fist fight. And he was like, oh, he shoots him. That's what he did. He shot him. He's like,
never ever grab a man's balls in a fist fight. It shows low character. What about using a gun? You're a fucking dog.
Was that before or after Barry threw dirt in his eye? I think that was after, because I think Barry was getting his ass kicked in the beginning and then he fell out and he throws dirt in the captain's face, and that's what lets him tackle him and they get to the floor, and then there's the dick punch and all that shit.
Like I said, there's a good fight. There's a couple really just good fights. Like, there's nothing else to be said other than it was a good fight. Yeah, like action fight.
Totally.
Which I appreciated. I really did.
Now, in the midst of all this fighting, we turn back to Brooke only to see her get up. She's not dead. Pull the bullet out of her chest.
She got them white eyes.
And then did she kill the captain? I don't remember.
Yeah, she kills everybody pretty much.
Nice.
Because I think they then fast forward to the next scene, which is them all together rolling.
I still didn't understand what the end game was with injecting her with the zombie blood, other than just maybe to find some shit out. But it sounded like they had an intended purpose and they needed her for some reason. Because if it's airborne and you have A negative blood and you are not susceptible to compromise, if you will, then why not just pick up anybody? Why does it have to be Brooke?
I think she was the first one that was like, she stayed awake during the test. Everybody else would be knocked out. Like, she was demonstrating something was different with her physically than these other patients or victims that were in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that's answered in part two.
That's what I was telling Perla, because she had some questions afterwards. She was like, so what happens with the human race then? Because like, aren't they trying to save them? And I was like, there is a part two. She's like, great. Can we watch it right now? And I was like,
Apocalypse.
Not right now, but we will watch it. Yes.
Good.
But yeah, to your point, they kill the captain and then they just kind of go on their merry way. And then like the final credit scene is just like them roaming around and taking other people out. Oh, actually what they're doing is they're taking out those mobile hospitals. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing.
What the fuck? Get down on the fucking ground and put your hands on your head.
What's in the truck?
Get down on the fucking ground now!
Wrong answer.
And there, she's using her powers to, like, wrangle a zombie, like, army.
Yes.
That she can use at her will.
Yes.
Which is pretty dope.
Roll credits.
Such a good fucking movie.
So here's the thing. I do have a little bit of a gripe with it in that.
Great.
I mean, it wouldn't be me if I didn't have something to complain about, right?
True.
It's the use of the Z word. Like, as soon as Perla heard it, she looked at me. She's like, they said it. And I was like, I know.
I mean, what do you name someone that dies and then is suddenly back, but not the same?
Matt has a very good way of kind of explaining the rule, because I think it's like an unsung, unspoken kind of rule, especially like in the late 2000s, early 2010s, when like zombies were like fucking everywhere. And the rule was, in a nutshell, like, you don't say the Z word because you're not supposed to know what they are, right? Any good zombie movie doesn't do that. Like, if you think about Night of the Living Dead, they weren't even zombies. They were flesh eaters, right? So there were zombie movies before Night of the Living Dead, but they're your more traditional voodoo zombies, right? Back from the dead, they're your slave. They do whatever you want. They're not the flesh-eating kind that Romero created. And you can watch interviews, he'll tell you, I didn't set out to make zombies as you know them today. They are flesh eaters. Okay, fair enough. The first movie to introduce the zombies, if you will, even though they're not referred to as zombies in this movie, but eat brains for the first time. So this is where we get the notion that zombies eat brains. Is Return of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm, it started with that movie.
Which is in the 80s.
Correct. So if you think about good zombie movies thereafter.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. 28 Days Later. Although people will argue, are they true zombies or whatever? But it's rage virus, whatever.
Zombies, totally.
You die and you come back. That's the definition of a zombie.
But I mean, the concept is they're saying that maybe the rage virus, you're not dead, you're just infected, which is kind of like the whole Last of Us concept.
Mm, yeah. But here's my point. Those shows, those movies don't refer to the infected as zombies.
There's another reason for this.
Correct.
There's another medical terminology or something else on the street we came up with as the name.
So it's kind of agreed upon. Yeah, a little bit that like if a zombie movie uses the Z word, then like it kind of takes some of it out of it.
You know what? I appreciate that description you just provided. But it makes me love this movie even more because they said, fuck your terminology. It is what it is. What the fuck else would you call this shit? The host Walking Dead other than zombie.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. But like also at the same time, again, $140,000 to make over 4 years, weekends only.
That's a passion project, dude.
I mean, you could argue that they had $140,000 to make this movie, but also at the same time, they had no money in the budget for like guns. So I don't know if you know, but like all of the guns in this movie are just like pipes that were spray painted black with like cardboard cutout, like handles and shit. Like it's insane how like creative they had to get to do it.
I love that.
So, and if you look at the concept of this movie as a whole, like it's like Mad Max with zombies.
100%.
So if I'm going to shoot this thing, which is a passion project, and we're going to have fun doing it, and we're just going to kill a bunch of fucking zombies, and we're going to show a bunch of blood and guts, like, who cares? I'm going to call them zombies. I don't give a fuck.
Hell yeah.
And it didn't bother me so much. It irked me. I was like, you said the Z word. But yeah, no. I mean, again, like I said, when I heard it, I was like, fuck, you said it, man. But then, like, I forgave because the movie is just, it's just so fun to watch, you know?
So I have a question. Let's say, heaven forbid, tomorrow we wake up and like, there's exactly this, you know, just suddenly
sure.
there's walking flesh eaters or whatever. How are you going to describe it to the next person you come along who's like, I don't understand what's going on? And you're like, it's
no, dot, it's, dot, dot. We'd have no choice. But that's because zombies already live in our universe. We're already familiar with the concept of it. So I think, and again, this is where, you know, Matt shines in his description of that rule, which is it is supposed to be understood that in these universes that you're creating for us in these different zombie movies, that zombies don't already pre-exist. They're kind of new to that universe for the very first time, which is why people don't know what they are, how to protect themselves from them, how to fend them off from, you know, how to save themselves from them, how to, you know, the fact that you need to destroy the brain. Like a lot of that is like discovery within the movie.
So Return of the Living Dead doesn't exist in a zombie movie, or Night of the Living Dead doesn't exist in a zombie movie. So why would you refer to it as a zombie?
Yes. Yes. I know there are some critics out there that will say, well, hold on, because in Return of the Living Dead, they talk about Night of the Living Dead. It's that scene where Freddy and Frank are talking about, like, you know, he was like, hey, did you ever see that movie Night of the Living Dead? And Freddy's like, yeah, that's the one where they showed like dead bodies coming back to life, right? Didn't call them zombies. And he's like, oh, yeah, it was based on a true story. And he's like, well, no, like that was like real life bodies that were dead and they were coming back and they were eating people. And so even though that movie existed within that movie, they still don't refer to them as zombies.
So what?
You asked the question. I'm just saying, dude.
I know where I'm going with it is like, so what, though? Who made the rules? Why the fuck?
Enthusiasts, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that makes me want to burn that rule down. Like, I'm not saying I don't get it, and I get it. Like, it's too on the nose. Like, you want to avoid it. You want to come up with a different way to describe it. But in reality is, if it's a fucking zombie flick, it's a zombie
no,
flick.
No, yeah, man. I know. It's just...
call it a zombie. Like, fuck it. I guess if it took place, like, back in Fido's time, like, before... Night of the Living Dead, I might say, all right, it's not Zomcon. A zombie.
I was just thinking about that movie today for some reason.
So good. It's good, too.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, man. It's getting late. This is a fucking pick, great dude. One. I'll send you another one.
All right, man. Until next week, everybody out there, don't forget, Happy Fright Films Festival, October 18th and 19th. Get your tickets at happyfrightfilms.com or just go straight to Eventbrite. Tickets are $15, super cheap. We're going to have a ton of shit out there.
I think they're actually, Eventbrite's running a sale. You might even be able to get a little bit of a deal.
20% off while it lasts. Get it while it lasts. Follow us on Instagram at Mutant City Horror. Email the show, mutantcityhorror@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly, paul@mutantcityhorror.com. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace out.
Love you guys.
Lucky little girl. Because you've stayed up past your bedtime, you get to see what the adults do after dark. Now hold still.